Hey guys, I'm Tim.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Dan.
This is the Board Game Rundown. This week we've got games you played, news, crowdfunding Kickstarters, and a pretty interesting topic that Dan came up with.
Okay. But first, make sure you like, subscribe, and ring that bell so you get all the notifications when we put new videos
up. And why is that important right now, Bob?
Because right now we're doing a giveaway.
Got it this week! Got it this week!
Nailed it!
Yeah! Now please continue.
What is it? No, Edge of Darkness. We're trying to give away Edge of Darkness. It's an AEG game, card crafting. Once we hit 500 subscribers.
Yes, we're getting close.
Yep, we will send you free, gratis. Yep, a big game.
Yeah. It's AEG. It's Kickstarter exclusive. Yeah. Right. So all you have to do is comment on that video and be a subscriber.
Yep. That video.
Dan will do like a super fancy algorithm and pick somebody out of the comments. So again, you have to comment on that video to actually be entered. So there, I don't think there's 500 comments on that video.
No. Your odds are pretty good.
So your odds are going to be
pretty
good.
We're not going to tell you the odds.
Never tell me the
good.
Odds.
Yeah.
But they are pretty good.
But they are 3,720 to 1.
Oh, jeez. Okay, 3PO. Get out of here. Anyways.
I also want to do a quick shout out to anyone currently listening to the audio version
of
the podcast. Thank you very much for supporting us. We are currently on Anchor, and Anchor sends it out to everyone else. There will be a link in the description to go check out the audio version if that's what you prefer.
We're on Anchor. We are on Pocket Cast. We should be on Google Podcasts and I believe Radio Public as well.
And Spotify.
And Spotify was the first one.
Yeah, look at the links in the bottom. So that way, if you don't want to see Dan every week, you can still listen to what Tim and I have to say.
Yeah. Just, you know, turn down the volume when he talks and then turn it back up.
Yep.
But yes, yeah, very, very, and leave us a comment on the audio podcast so we know, right?
Give us a rating because that'll help get the word out of it too, right?
Yeah.
When people rate it.
Yeah, cool. It's going to help, right?
We dig it.
Sounds good. Games we played?
Games we played.
Games we've played.
My list is tiny.
It's tiny but long.
Okay. True.
You ready?
Get in there.
All right.
Get in there.
So Friday night, I played Marvel Champions.
What?
I know.
So did we.
Yeah.
But not with you.
Not with that. We played it separately. We failed twice, miserably.
Nice.
Yeah.
Who'd you go against?
Rhino. Oh.
Dan, right
hey.
Here.
No, right. I'm just saying, like, because you get,
it was
there's two people, right? 14 scheme and you fail.
Uh-huh.
We're at 6. We're thinking we're safe. No, and because we're both on hero form, but some reason he manages to get 8 scheme in one turn. We're like, are you kidding
me? That? We got 16 in
hold
one
on.
Turn.
Hold on. Yeah. We'll tell you. But please finish yours.
Okay.
We'll tell you.
Sure. So we failed miserably and then decided to call it a night.
Did you get early morning? How far into the Rhino? Did you get to like a second version at least?
Yes, the first time we got to it, the second version, it was super close. We almost won. We barely lost. Like, we're like, let's try that again. We could do better.
Oh.
And like the third turn, he's like, and we're like, what the heck was that? We're like, forget this. We'll do it another time.
Sure.
So yeah. So then I had to work the next morning. And then we played Gloomhaven.
Nice.
And that was a good time. It took a while. We failed on that mission too.
All right.
So then Ben was still there. Then Levi came over, and I was like, you want to try out this Champions game, Marvel? And they're like, Ben was like, yeah, I want to play that again. So we played the same character.
Uh-huh.
Levi jumped in, and we actually won.
Nice.
So against Rhino?
Against Rhino.
Cool.
Yep.
Three times the charm.
Yep. And then Ben took off, and Levi stuck around for one more quick game, so we played a two-player game of Smartphone. He had never played it.
Oh, damn.
Finally got him
a chance
to play.
That's a Levi game, dude.
That's what I know. When it came out, like, you know, that's when he kind of fell off the world a little bit. But he's back now, and he loved it. He's like, I really like this action crafting. I'm like, I knew he would.
Such a Levi game.
And he had me like the whole game, and then the last round, I sold a lot of phones and jumped ahead of him. Yeah, it was pretty great.
Yeah, Smartphone's really good, especially for that. Okay, so Dan and I, Friday night.
We played Marvel Champions.
We played Marvel Champions.
Cool.
We went against
Ultron. We have a review of Marvel Champions right here.
Yeah, it's right up there. We won against Ultron.
Nice. That's probably a tough one, eh?
We had Cap, Spidey, Iron Man, and Captain Marvel.
Did you guys each play two?
No.
Oh, you had other people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Spencer and Jonathan were there.
But we don't allow them on camera anymore. They're on suspension.
Yeah. Right. Spencer's on suspension for stuff we're not illegally allowed to talk about.
Right.
And then Jonathan is just Jonathan.
Yep.
So he's not on camera either.
Yep.
But anyways, so yes, we get to Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
We are doing poorly, to say it nicely.
Yeah.
Hanging on by a thread.
Right.
Schemes are coming out. Because here's the thing, is it's like, we were like, Spencer, what villain do you want to go against? We got Green Goblin, we got Ultron. There's like two versions of Green Goblin. We got Ultron, we got Claw, we got Rhino. Dan's like, we should do Rhino. And then Spencer's like, wow, I want to go against a good villain. Let's go against Ultron. It's like, okay. bad choice because right. he's super tough on your first time player.
Immediate regret.
And I'm looking at Ultron stuff, and I'm like, man, instead of using the suggested one, I'm gonna throw in MODOK. How hard can MODOK be? Another bad choice.
Dude, MODOK is insane. Really? He's so difficult.
He's really tough. He's really tough. He gets this thing where basically when all his health goes away, he just comes back.
Well, and that's a card that it kept putting on minions. So it goes just, on it minions. Was making all the minions just have two life bars.
It goes on the highest. Well, it goes on the highest cost minion. So when MODOK is out,
It's on him.
It's on him. And the problem is, we get that off of him. The deck gets shuffled because MODOK's got like 8 HP. Then it comes out again, and MODOK is still out. So it goes back to him. And there was one time we got it on him, and MODOK was like one hit point away from being killed. No. And he got that freaking thing on him again. And his side schemes, it's like drawing extra cards and adding extra schemes.
Was that somebody's nemesis, or was that like instead of bomb protocol or bomb?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Instead of, bomb scare, it was.
Okay.
I didn't do the one they suggest and threw in MODOK.
Right. He said, let's make this impossible.
Yeah.
Whoopsies. But anyways, the guys started to figure out their stuff, right? Like, I was playing Spider-Man. He was being Captain America. We played those characters before.
Quite a bit, yeah.
So we kind of knew, right? And I tried a new thing with Spider-Man where I was just dumping my hand, not really, hardly ever, maybe saving one card.
Yeah.
Right? Like, okay, this can cancel something. So I'm going to save this one. But otherwise, you know, just playing as much as I can, doing stuff, worked out pretty well. And I think once everybody kind of figured out how to use their characters, we all started jamming pretty good.
Especially because Spencer, who was Iron Man, takes a lot of buildup to get ready.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, you got to sift through your deck with Iron Man.
So
can't be afraid. Be afraid to discard cards.
Yes.
Just draw them, grab one, and get rid of the rest. You'll get back to them.
So we get down to, we beat Ultron like the first time. Like, get it through. Then his health goes up to, like, 60-something.
Oh, no, 60 was the first time, I think. I swear it was, like, 80.
It might have been. It was high.
Yeah.
Really high.
Like, 20 a player.
Oh, yeah, it might have been 88 or something. 22 a player or 21
I think it was
a
18 a player.
18 a player? Well, it wouldn't have been 80.
Yeah, you're right.
But
still, a lot.
A lot.
We're not going to math that out right now, but a lot.
So, anyways, we get, and the guys are like, well, should we quit? You know, and I'm like, let's just
we were
keep
getting
going.
There. We were like, man,
we're about to lose. And it's like, well, let's just finish because this will be done soon. So we beat the first iteration of Ultron. And then Jonathan with Captain Marvel does like crazy, like 24
something
points
like
of damage in a round.
Wow.
Just boom, 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 boom. Then Spencer does a whole bunch of damage with
19,
Iron Man.
I think. Yeah.
Like boom, 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 boom. Then here comes Dan.
Well, what it was after Spencer did his 19 damage, we just did like 30 damage to this guy. We looked at his scheme and we looked at his health and we said, we got to kill him. We just forget about the scheme. We got to beat him before he beats us. So I know, cheesy as hell. But like, I was Captain America and I was like, okay, Avengers. Assemble.
Yeah. And the first thing I said was, on your left. And guess where I was sitting? To Dan's left. It was perfect. Yeah. It was perfect.
And we freaking destroyed it.
Hold on. But here, it gets better, though, because here's what happens. So we realize, like, we can do this. It's just going to take, like, one more round, right? But we were ignoring the thing. So everybody goes around and attacks. We've got him down to, like, 30 health, right? So he's within
striking distance.
But because we did that, his scheme popped. So we go to the last one. The last one, it was like, if he gets 20 scheme on there, 20 threat or whatever, it's over. And there, you cannot remove scheme from this.
Right.
Oh, so we're like, okay. So, it's like 20. He's not going to get 20. He got 16 on his turn. And then...
one round to beat him.
Yeah, well, but it was like we weren't sure we were going to get to our round because we would have had him because I had like an 8 damage card. Right. Dan had,
the damage.
We had the damage and we're just flipping over cards, right? As stuff is coming out because three of us had gone to our alter egos, but we didn't realize it.
Yeah, that was before the 16 pop.
Yeah.
Before because we didn't realize we weren't going to be able to pull. Thread off that last scheme. It's like, oh, nee! And so we're standing up around the table as the cards are coming out. We're like, oh, well, we got four. Like, oh, no. Like, yeah, it was crazy. Nice. And then the very last round, it just was like two guys hit him. It was like
I killed him with the shield throw, too, as Captain America. So good.
Oh, it was fantastic game. Yeah.
This is why I rated the game what I rated it in that review in the upper right corner of your screen.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It was intense. Well, we went from like, this game's about done. We're about to lose. What are we going to play next? To all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute.
Right. We have a chance.
And the thing I'm going to tell you guys about Marvel Champions, because I talked to Tim about this afterwards, we keep going into it thinking it's a card game. This is the mentality we have. Let's play Marvel Champions. we need to start understanding, when you start spreading the word, that Marvel Champions is like a Dune, you know, a Twilight Imperium.
Not
this is
that
a,
long, but you're going to sit down
course.
For 2 hours.
Right. I'm saying you're going to sit down for a long time. This is not a let's just throw this on the table and play. It's kind of a game you plan ahead for, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
you say, let's play Marvel Champions Friday. It's like, well, I really think we need to get out of the mentality and stop sharing the mentality that it's a game that you can just throw on the table and play.
Yeah, the box does lie. It says 45 to 60 minutes.
That's a lie.
That is 60 minutes
lie.
To 120 at least.
Right.
At least.
That's
at least.
I would even say that's an at least.
Probably
I think that's being generous.
Yeah, I would say it's a 90
and
to 120.
Yes, all of our games so far have been teaching games, so that obviously makes it take longer too, but I don't think it makes it take
that
much longer.
Right, right.
Like,
it just takes a while to kind of get through all your
stuff. Yeah. So yes, I'm gonna spread that news. Plan ahead to play Marvel Champions.
Marvel Champions is
and
fantastic.
Make sure one person knows how to play.
Oh, shnikes.
Why don't you check out like Quicksilver? Because that's who I was. Like, you're always readying him. Like, usually you tap your
that's
guy
awesome.
Or exhaust him, right?
Right.
To your abilities. But you got all this stuff to just he does it automatically himself. And then you got tons of cards in your deck to do it also. And then when you ready him, you ready other things, and you're just
right. That's
I'll
who I'm gonna want to play next.
I'll defend you. I'll defend you. You know.
But I just picked up Thor. I'm looking forward to playing as Thor.
Yeah, he looks cool.
But that was our weekly 10-minute segment on Marvel Champions.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah,
which is probably going to be an ongoing thing, unfortunately,
while,
if you're not a fan.
Yeah.
We then played like a just kind of a winding down game of Joking Hazard afterwards. Mm-hmm. The game is hilarious. It's filthy.
Yeah.
Ironically, Jonathan kept complaining about not liking that kind of game, and he hates
and
that kind of game, and he was doing really well.
Yeah.
The whole time, he just whined. It's like, well, you can go home or just play. And he played and had a good, he had a good enough time.
And it ended with a four-way tie.
Funny. Now, granted, it was like 1:30 in the morning. I'm like, guys, I gotta go.
Quick breakdown. If you've played Cards Against Humanity, which many people have, it's basically Cyanide and Happiness. Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, it's
fine.
Fine.
I liked it. I liked making comic strips.
Yeah.
Is basically
three-panel comic strip.
Yep.
And then today, the day we filmed this, we played Destinies from Lucky Duck Games, relatively new.
Yep, a little back over.
Without spoiling too much of the review, I believe we all had a really good time playing it.
Yeah.
I will snap right here. Okay. It will not be there yet, but it'll be there soon.
Soon.
As of uploading, of course. If you come to this video in a year, it's there.
It's there.
It's right there.
It's already there.
What are you waiting for?
And thanks for checking out our backlog.
Yeah.
So Destinies was really fun. We had a good time with it.
Yeah.
So you can get more in-depth over there at that other review. Anything else?
I believe that is it for me.
I've been playing a lot of... Oh, Ascension, Mike Picorni... We're still going back and forth, and a lot of Magic the Gathering online.
Yeah, I played a bunch of Magic last night.
But Arena. So. I've been playing Arena. You've been playing...
IRL.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
EDH.
Yeah.
I enjoy the EDH. There's some shows online. I'm not going to go into them whatnot, but I've watched them, and they're entertaining.
Oh,
and
sure.
And they give me ideas. Like, oh, that's a good idea.
Sure.
They don't. My friends don't like my decks. They all hate my decks.
See, I've been... decks that I've been getting killed by, I start putting together similar things. Like a landfall. Like I have like a landfall... A just amazing landfall... like a ruin crab, so like milling the other people's deck, you know, and then a screw mob or something, so it like creates another one every time you put a thing out, but then they keep spawning more and more and more.
Yeah.
And then it's just like attacking with like 60 creatures. Mm-hmm. Attack all. Like, nice. I'm just going to win because you can block five of them.
It was getting super late. It was like 4 a.m, right? And they're like, let's play one more. So I'm like, all right, a quick one. And I've been steering clear of the slivers because they complain all the time. I said, oh, wait, we'll play one more, but it's got to be quick. So I busted out the slivers.
Within like three turns, four turns?
I was like fifth or sixth turn. Like, oh, well, I guess if you're going to play that deck, I'm like, hey, I said it was going to be fast.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Just so you guys know, Dan's looking at blank pages.
I'm reading
it's
a blank
book.
It's still
entertaining.
Yeah.
But notice he hasn't turned the page yet.
No, I turned it three times. Oh. I didn't see any paint drying, so I decided I'd just read a blank book to keep myself entertained
That's fine. I'm really enjoying the Magic the Gathering Arena. If it's something you're curious about, I would say check it out.
It's
you
free.
Can play for free.
Yeah.
There's in-game currency you can earn just by playing. Mm-hmm. And that'll give you a good feel if that's something you actually want to invest your money in.
Yep.
So, anyways, on to news.
I got some news.
Okay. Go ahead, newsboy.
News boy. Party time.
Excellent.
Guys.
Yes.
Did you see what Gale Force 9 announced?
No.
You didn't see what Gale Force 9 announced? How weird is this? Dune, a game of conquest and diplomacy.
Wait.
Not a reskin of the other game, but basically the other game.
Don't they have... Don't Doesn't Gale Force 9
they're the ones that make
just
Dune.
Make Dune?
They're the ones that just remade Dune in 2019. Yep. Yep. I think it's 2019.
Yeah, not this, Dune Imperium, but the other Dune.
No, not yeah, the Dune.
Dune.
This game Dune. Looks exactly like it, but cleaned up, streamlined, simplified.
You know, I think I saw
player.
This, but I thought it was just Dune.
No, it's not. Oh. See, they clearly say this is not just a reskin. We have changed the skin. It's like basically what they say. So it has the art from the movie.
This isn't a reskin. Okay. We just reskinned it.
Right. It looks. Okay. It has the art from the movie. it looks like screenshots as well. Okay. But so that it has really nice looking player boards and stuff. Up, you know, upgraded components for sure compared to the other one. The board looks much nicer now. It's bigger. But, like, it literally looks like a streamlined. They said it should play faster. It's streamlined. It only goes up to four players now because they say you play
so
one of the
four houses.
So this
is like Sonar to Captain Sonar.
It seems like it, yes. They say this should be able to sit on your shelf right next to the other one and both should get played is what they're trying to push here.
I'll
it looks
take that
insanely
challenge.
Similar. I know. I mean, I'm going to get it. Are you, right. Like a faster streamlined version? I mean, yeah. I love the original game,
but
I'll try this out
get
for sure.
People to play it.
Yeah, so 40 years is how long they've had to work on this, right? Like what I'm saying is like the original one came out 40 years ago, so they're pushing that. 40 years of redesign. There's a new board, new look. There's more spice in this one they were pointing
it
out.
Must flow.
There's a market deck, this is new, that you can purchase in-game advantages from with spice, so that's a new mechanic. There's a two-player mode that they're pushing hard, should play really well.
Okay.
That's one of the negatives with the original Dune,
right?
You couldn't
player
do
count.
That. And September 2021 is the release date. So all very good information to me, just completely out of left field. I did not see this coming.
That is surprising.
But I honestly am
very
happy.
Bold strategy,
Colin. We'll see if it works out. Yeah.
Nice.
All right. I'll go into one of mine, then I'll pass it to you.
Okay.
So Tidal Blades 2.
Yep.
I originally thought
it was just going to be an RPG. But they're out of a Kickstarter October 5th, and it is going to be an RPG, and there's a tabletop game that is going along with it. I don't know if it will just be called Tidal Blades 2, how it will... I mean, since it's a new game and not like an expansion, I'm assuming.
Well, yeah, it's going to be... They specifically called the first one Season 1, didn't they?
Did.
So
yeah.
This one will be Season 2 for sure.
Right.
Yeah, so they announced like role playing stuff too.
Yeah, that's coming out at the same on the same Kickstarter with the Tidal Blades 2.
Got you.
So
interesting.
See what happens. They might be like taking a page out of the Dice Throne book, right? Where it's like Dice Throne Season 1, Dice Throne Season 2.
Yeah, we've covered Tidal Blades on the Gotham channel City. Before. I think we like it overall. It has some misgivings.
I need to play it some more, I think.
Yeah,
it's just, it probably wouldn't hurt.
I just feel like it's a lot of setup for what you're getting.
Don't play the special edition.
I mean, even
the regular edition, you still have to put together this
modular
map.
Modular map that goes in the same way every time.
That goes in the same direction every time.
Right, you could just glue them together.
Yeah, you probably could.
That's my thing.
Put it in the box, though.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's your news? So, I got more, but I'll let you go.
I got
yours.
A little bit. So Eagle Griffin Games,
They
make a lot of stuff that we enjoy.
Yeah.
Has announced their third and final little expansions into Defenders of the Realm. Yes. So Defenders of the Realm, which is a great, like, if you like Pandemic at all, it's a fantasy theme.
It destroyed Pandemic for me.
Yeah, it's an amazing cooperative game. It's super easy and accessible to get. Like, well, it's easy to teach people. It's kind of hard to find.
Yeah.
However, they're using CrowdOx is who they're going through. And they've got pre-orders of the three expansions, which is the Companions and Catacombs, the Heroes Calling, and they have a revised board that's a little bit easier to read and whatnot.
Okay.
But then they also have the base game that you can get that, which is difficult to find sometimes.
Yeah.
And then they also have some all-in pledges where you can get the base game, all the earlier expansions that are really hard to find sometimes, all the character expansions, painted minis, all types of amazing
content.
Oh,
my wallet hurts.
It does. It's a little pricey. It's like $250 for like all the old stuff.
It's Eagle Griffin Games, so it's expensive.
Yeah. Well, but it's well made. Like all the
stuff,
is
very
well made. They
have
high quality boxes, all the inserts and everything else.
Their stuff right out of the box is deluxe edition.
Nice. Yep.
It is all just really
but
nice.
But it's one of my favorite co-ops.
Gosh, me too.
Tim's sister and brother-in-law got me into that game. And I love it. My
me
nieces
too.
Love it. Yeah,
Pat and Julia.
They
are our dealers.
Yeah, right. Enablers, right?
Yeah, they
like first one's free. Here you go.
Have you played that yet, Dan?
No.
You haven't played Defenders of the Realm yet?
No.
Or
Heroes? What's the other one?
No. Defenders of the Last Stand.
Defenders of the Last Stand.
Yeah, that's like the post-apocalyptic version.
Yeah, I haven't played either.
There's a little.
A little bit of difference.
Yeah, mutations are good, right?
Yeah, mutations are good.
Patrick.
Yeah, thanks. But yeah, no, Defenders is great. Like, you know, your minions are spawning. You have to keep them down so they don't overrun everything. The generals are marching in towards the town, and you have to just defeat them all. It's a good time.
I'll play Pandemic. I'm just kidding.
Oh,
so much better than Pandemic.
So much
so
better.
So much better. So much better. Very cool.
All right, that's good. I didn't know about that.
Yeah,
it's gonna send me a link to that, even though I might cry when
I'm
there.
We're just surprising Tim with news today.
They've got like what, four or five different character expansions.
I think I gotta just get
a stack of characters.
I gotta
like this,
just get
man.
Some of those character expansions. Though,
yeah, and they do have access.
I have a base game. That's it.
Oh yeah, see, I've been lucked out. They hooked me up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My sister hooks this clown
Thank
up.
You, I appreciate it.
And here I am with just the base game. Hi.
Yeah. Stuck in the middle with Dan.
Stuck in the middle with Dan.
Yes.
Okay.
Huge sale and all that stuff. So check
right on.
It out.
So this was interesting news. I don't have a lot to go in on into with it because details are murky. But Reiner Knizia announced via Twitter that he is severing ties with Grail Games due to licensing issues.
Yep.
It sounds like a nasty fight.
Yeah.
Usually, like from the little stuff that I've seen, this tends to be like royalties not being paid and things
right.
like that.
It's like I've done a lot of the work on this. I want a bigger cut kind of thing.
Or they're just not paying the cut that they had originally promised. You know, maybe sales aren't, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Right.
So anyways, I'm sure that will come out eventually. But the interesting thing is that Knizia is a very good designer and he will end up somewhere making more games.
Yeah.
So it's just not going to be with Grail Games anymore. I thought this was interesting for our Warhammer fans. Warhammer Plus is an app-driven sort of channel, kind of like Disney Plus, that is coming out. If you sign up or you maintain a monthly if you maintain a monthly subscription for a year or sign up for the year right off the bat, they are going to give you a free miniature. You get one of the two to choose from. But on this app, because I was like, well, a Warhammer app, like, is this for games? Well, maybe a little bit. But they're going to have like two animated shows, Hammer and Bolter and Angel of Death, which this was interesting, is a press release was like, it will release on most Wednesdays.
Nice. That's funny.
Honesty.
Yeah, I like it.
But there's supposedly a bunch of more shows in development. Mm-hmm. So like more content coming. They're also going to have tutorial and instructional videos produced by Games Workshop. So like painting and assembling and modeling.
Nice. That's a good move.
And then so it can either be $6 a month or $60 a year. And it's going to combine with the Warhammer 40K app, like Warhammer 40K, the app. So that's an app where it gives you like all this information and army organizer stuff. Okay. And so you're going to basically get the premium edition of that. And then it's also got all these White Dwarf magazines that you can go back and read in their back catalog and like look up other stuff.
That's cool too.
This is a genius move.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's
this
a good price and offering all that stuff. This is going to do well.
So this is a game, right? And they're already like a high dollar market, right? So people that are into that spend the money.
But $60 is nothing.
Yeah. A year? Sure, here you go.
That's a box of units. Right?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. This is going to do really well.
And then this one's really interesting. This is a game that is, it just says it's coming out later this year, but I found this fascinating. It's a game called Stonewall Uprising, The Fight for Gay Civil Rights.
Okay.
So Stonewall was like a famous, Jackson. I believe that was a famous raid on a gay bar in like Greenwich Village in New York in like the 60s where like cops like roughed up a bunch of people, you know what I mean? As they're like dragging them out. It was this huge landmark
America's
thing.
Never done anything wrong.
Never.
Wow. That was sarcasm, people.
That was.
So this is a two-player game where one player plays as the pride and the other player plays as the man.
Wow.
So they're trying to keep down acceptance of gay rights. So it's
a
tug of war in three areas, systemic support, public opinion, and individual support.
Wow.
And yeah, so the designer is Taylor Shuss, excuse me. And Dicebreaker.com has a really good interview with him. It talks about... It talks about, like, you know, it goes into, like, why he made the game and things like that, which some of that I think is just obvious, right? Like, to bring awareness to stuff. But then also, there's an interesting discussion on the psychology. Like, some players were uncomfortable playing the man.
That's what I was going
to Because you
up.
Don't agree necessarily with, like, the political views that you are. And I guess on the flip, they may not admit it publicly, but they may be uncomfortable playing the pride, you know? Like, because
I mean,
you don't want
to
promote.
Saying, but to me, that just means, like, well, then if I'm playing... Magic the Gathering, something like, oh, well, I'm summoning demons. I'm not really trying to summon demons.
Right. Well, I feel like there's enough Civil War games, right, where somebody's got to be the South.
Exactly.
So, you know,
like when I play World War II and I'm Germany, I'm not like, you know, empathizing with the cause.
I'm going to rule my Holocaust dice.
Yeah,
no, you're not. Yeah. But I just think that I thought
that
it was
modern political climate.
Yeah. Like, and I thought it was interesting to have the discussion behind the psychology of playing sort of, you know, as somebody that you don't agree with. Mm-hmm. Potentially.
Well, and maybe it'll be nice, like, you know, because like in 70 years, we think it's absurd that people would be on the one side. Maybe in 70 years, we'll be like, man, it's absurd that people were on that side, you
right,
know, trying
right.
to hold people down, you know?
Yeah, so, hopefully.
Nice. Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully. So anyways, I just thought it was really neat. I wanted to bring attention to it because it's an important topic. I've never seen a game themed around basically just the LGBTQ whatever, you know. You know, I say whatever because I don't want to mess it up, but
right.
you know what I mean? Just around that whole thing.
You got most of it.
So
I think you just say plus after that.
Yeah, plus.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Plus. But it's really important. It's really interesting. It'll be interesting to see if this spawns more stuff, right?
Yeah.
And more things spin off out of this.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So anyways, coming later this year, check out dicebreaker.com if you want to read that full article. It's really good.
Yeah.
Right.
Really
cool.
interesting. So that is all of my news.
Okay.
That's my news.
Crowd surfing.
We're
surfing the crowd.
Okay. What you got there, crowd funding?
Yeah, I said crowd surfing.
You
crowd
did.
All right, all right.
Crowd surfing is the name of one of Dice Tower segments. That's what it is. Crowd funding.
Bleep that out.
Funding
the
crowd. Okay. So first of all, let's just talk about skeptics.
Let's do it. I got it on my list.
Yep. So skeptics, I'll link right here to our last board game rundown. The topic of that was an interview with the designer, John Uziak. And then that interview will actually also, if you want, link to a full playthrough Tim and I did on Tabletopia with John himself.
Yep.
So that's cool if you want to see anything like that. But Tim, I guess go ahead and take away skeptics.
Yeah, so skeptics, it's what, $50 or $100 depending on your pledge. It is, I guess you could donate like a dollar or two. Also, but the paranormal investigator pledge is going to give
pledge.
You is the base game and all the stretch goals. They are unlocking some stretch goals because there are 160 or let's see.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't see how funded is it?
Almost 200%.
Okay. Yeah. Almost 200% funded. So doing really well.
Math.
And then there's the master paranormal investigator. So that will let you play skeptics with the designer on Tabletopia or Tabletop Simulator. In addition to getting the base game and all the stretch goals. And I can tell you, having gotten, like, just by luck, getting to play the game with John, we had a really good time.
We
Spoiler
did.
Alert, right? Yeah. Like, if you go to watch that. So that is a nice experience. He's a very open and friendly guy, as you will see on the interview. You could really just kind of ask him anything.
He's very blunt. I like it. Like, he just says, here's where I got inspiration from. This was my idea.
Yes.
Like, this
I think
is
he was
kinda
drinking a beer.
Yeah, right?
That's fine, too.
I like when designers say, oh, this dice mechanic is kind of like the dice mechanic from that game. I liked it, so
I balanced it better.
And stuff.
Made it
instead
so
of,
I like
instead
it
of just being like, oh, I took inspiration from, like, you know, I like the honesty. You don't have to try to act like you're ripping people off.
He's real candid.
Right?
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. I again really enjoyed it.
We have till it ends on July 8th, so that's why, Bob. What would they want to do?
Make sure you're ringing that bell.
Ring the bell,
ring
so Bob will shut up about it.
Because by the time this uploads, you won't have you won't have too much. Longer left to check this out.
It's getting closer, but congratulations to John. I can't speak today because we're really happy because this was your second attempt at getting this funded, and it funded relatively quick, and now it's just moving on through the stretch goals.
And last but not least, the information that most of you care about at the very beginning that we always skip, it is a 1-4 player cooperative dice rolling game set in the ghost hunting world. You're working together, try to prove the existence of ghosts and then exorcise the demon. So
that's the thing.
Yep.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
All right, Bobby, what you got? You got something?
Yeah, I got one. Another good thing we're ringing that bell because this one's going to end in 5 days, so about 2 days after this comes out. But it's called Six Siege.
That's my other one.
Yeah, it's like
this
Rainbow
looks cool.
Six,
I assume somebody's going to talk about this.
It looks super cool.
So someone at the table plays the video game that it's based off of.
Go ahead, Dan. Tell
right
us.
Here.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, it's yours. You can go ahead. I was just saying, it does look very faithful to the video game.
Yeah.
This, honestly, from a distance, I was like, meh, you know, based on the video. Mm-hmm. And I actually watched some gameplay footage of it and stuff. It looks really good. I'll tell you, though, it has a lot that are going to turn people off.
Like fiddly bits and whatnot.
Well, it's app
driven,
yeah.
App only. It's timed. So depending on the difficulty you play on, you have a certain amount of time to take your turns before it's the other person's turn, and
which
you're reacting
sense.
To each other.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. There's line of sight mechanics. So it's very much a miniatures kind of game going on here where you're, you know, there's line of sight going through there, and there's hidden movement to where the defenders, the attackers don't know the defenders are until they break in and locate them and everything and use the cameras in the building. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff that is going to make this
it seemed very true to the
very
game,
niche
video game.
Yeah. But I think for the people who like this kind of stuff, this looks incredible. I wish I could back this. I was blown away once I actually watched the gameplay and stuff of how good and faithful this looks.
Yeah.
Which Ubisoft does usually put a lot of money into their stuff. Like they had a TV show, like a YouTube series based on Ghost Recon or something for a while. And like whether you loved it or hated the story and everything, it's clear they put a lot of money into it and they cared. They wanted to make it good, you know. So I can see why Ubisoft would throw a lot into wanting to make sure Rainbow Six is a good game. But July 2nd, right?
Yep.
You said 5 days. So July 2nd, that's going to be close.
Yeah.
It's going to be very close, guys. By Mythic Games, who made Darkest Dungeon.
Okay.
I've heard of that.
Yep.
And they made the Joan of Arc miniatures game.
Oh,
which
that
I
game
think
is huge.
I think that's the one that's like the Conan game, right? Isn't?
Is it? You said Mythic?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mythic made Conan.
So Joan of Arc and Conan, very
and
similar.
And Batman, your Batman game.
Gotham City Chronicles.
Yes.
Yep.
But yeah.
That was Monolith.
Oh, no, that is Monolith, not Mythic.
No, yeah, so Conan is Monolith. I'm saying, though, I think Joan of Arc and Conan play similar, I
oh,
think
I
is
see.
What I heard.
Maybe.
Okay. But, I thought the Joan of Arc was more like the Game of Thrones ones, right? The Song of Ice.
I honestly...
Miniatures game.
Clearly, we do not know what Joan of Arc is about.
You know, miniatures game, board game, that's an interesting debate that you could probably find some people talking about it. Where can they find people talking about
that? I think that debate happened next to a fireside right about here.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
But, yeah, so, I don't know, anything else to add, Bob?
No, that's... looks
cool.
So, yeah,
you select
looks really cool.
You select your map at the beginning.
Yep.
Different maps have different
scenarios
setups. Yeah,
stuff.
Different spawn points and objectives. Of three or four
get
different game modes.
Your people and
yeah,
it looks,
yeah,
looks
secretly
cool.
Get your loadout. Just lots of positives here.
Yep.
Thanks, Bob, for bringing that up.
All right. So Grand Gamers Guild has a game on Kickstarter right now that looks really cute, pretty light. It is called Klepto Kittens.
Yeah.
So you are stealing treasures against the clock. So it is a push-your-luck game where you are basically a cat trying to steal food and, you know, whatever.
Everything. Hair ties, probably.
Yeah. All kinds of stuff before you run out of time. You score as many points, depending on the cards you're getting. It looks like there's, like, a memory aspect to it, as well as the press your luck.
Yep.
You can play it for free on Tabletop Simulator. I will just say that Grand Gamers Guild, I like
Grand Gamers Guild. I got a lot of games they put out there.
I guess this is Kratz and Spiel Solutions, technically, but this person is affiliated with Grand Gamers Guild.
Okay.
So, but yeah, they do nice things. This story, it's got a cute little story about like how they were inspired by, you know, how to play. It will cost you to pledge about $19.
It's pretty cheap.
And you could get four copies for $90. Or $69. That's
Australian dollars.
Yeah. So that's a litter of Klepto Kittens.
Gotta hit that Z.
Yeah.
I don't know what's up with you, Tim, but I swear once a month you bring a cat game to the table.
I don't know.
Like from Kickstarter and stuff.
It's
so
possible.
You're gonna be like an old cat lady?
Have you played Cat Lady?
Oh God, see.
Okay. Played Here Kitty Kitty.
Yeah, Here Kitty Kitties.
That's a great cat game.
Is a lot of fun.
Oh boy.
Cat Lady AEG, which is also the giveaway that we're trying
I like
to
exploding kittens. Because of the state the kittens end in.
Board Game Rundown does not endorse the detonation of kittens.
That's right.
So we're going to take all three of our kitten things and then average them together, and you will see what... That's our rating scale.
Well done. Yeah. All right, that's my Kickstarters.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay. We have a topic. We have a
topic.
Our podcast usually ends with a topic every week. So this week.
And our YouTube show.
Well, you know, this is a podcast. You know,
also.
So same thing.
It is now.
All right. Topic. Dan, what's our topic?
Yeah, it's your idea.
So I wanted to talk about, for actually quite a few months, I've had just had this idea kind of in my head. And
Well, that's boring. So, Bob, what topic do you want
to
talk
about? So I enjoyed my topic. So I listened to some of our friends. They have a pretty okay podcast.
Uh-huh. That's pretty boring, too. Yeah. Dan, go back to
yours. Okay. So I wanted to look at our collections, which is nice for me because mine's much smaller than both of theirs.
Yes,
and kind of see which designers we have the most games of and why we think we're attracted to those designers' style of designing games, which sometimes they don't even have a style. Sometimes their games are all over the place.
Yeah, for sure. And that could be part of the appeal.
Yeah.
Okay. It's no secret. I'm in the bag for Peterson Games. Sandy Peterson designs. It's not that he's got a ton of games out there, but the games that of his that I play a lot. And I didn't even realize it until after Cthulhu Wars.
Right.
One of my all-time favorite games. That was like his first big venture into tabletop. I got into that and then realized that he was one of the big brains behind one of the early role-playing games I used to play, Call of Cthulhu, like in the earlier editions of Call of Cthulhu. Used to play that role-playing game. It's like, oh, this is the same guy I was already in.
Right.
Anyways, but then because the artwork kind of matched up, right? And then the lore is very consistent. I mean, he's very good with doing that. And then Planet Apocalypse comes out. Yeah. Completely different game, but asymmetric, really hard co-op, but still sort of like hellish.
Giant minis.
That's probably the running theme between
mini
the
giants
of his. But Evil High Priest, right? Well, no, wait. He didn't design Evil.
He designed that one, though.
I believe his son did.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think it's just that while there are other companies that do the Cthulhu mythos and like theme very well, I don't know, man. Cthulhu Wars and now Planet Apocalypse is not mythos themed, but the theme is so strong.
Right, and also could have fooled me. Right.
Yeah.
It fits.
Yeah. You can very well just put a Cthulhu instead of like that gate thing.
Right.
Yeah. It would have been like, okay, yeah, the world's ending. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But anyways, I mean, it's just a couple of his games that I just absolutely love.
Yep.
And I just think he does a really good job of integrating theme with the games and also with the asymmetric abilities in both of those games. Mm-hmm. When it was kind of a saying going around when I was working at Gen Con with Peterson Games. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, if Sandy puts that in a game, like, use it. Like, if that's your power, use it. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a reason.
There's a reason. Power.
Make that power work for you. And when you can do that, man, like, you will see that faction or that hero just hums. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it takes me a minute to, like, rewire my brain to play that character.
If you're picking the archery guy, stop getting in the melee.
Right.
Just do the archery
exactly.
Stop alpha gaming.
Mr. Wizard.
Yeah. But anyways, that was my first, like, big,
right.
easy, obvious. No, that's, big, easy, yeah. obvious
we
one.
We all knew that was coming.
Right.
Yeah.
I just get it out of the way. Now I can talk about more stuff.
I guess
later.
I should point out, we're not... there's going to be a lot of overlap, but we're not talking about our favorite designers here. We're specifically talking about the game. Yeah, I know. We're specifically talking about the designers that we own the most games of and why that might be. And that might be because they're one of our favorite designers. Yeah. Right? That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of overlap here.
Sure.
Right. Well, I think
for example,
Glorantia is the only Peterson game I don't have.
Like, Jamie Stegmaier is one of my favorite designers.
Sure.
I only own two of his games. So as far as I own Viticulture and I own Tapestry. Technically, I have Scythe, but it's not mine. So I wouldn't include him on a most designers list. Why do I own them?
Sure.
But he's one of my favorite designers, right? So that's different
slightly. Yeah,
it's adjacent.
I have a ton of Peterson game stuff.
Right,
I wanted to get it out. Get it out of the way.
Well, I actually think I wrote Peterson on here just to mention because I knew you were going
to. Yeah, I just had to get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Now I can talk about the ones that I tend to own the most games of and didn't even realize. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So I guess I'll go. David Turksy.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So Anachrony, right?
Anachrony, Excavation Earth, Venice, Tracarion.
Did you buy Excavation Earth?
Well, I have
you have the review
copy.
Yeah.
He worked on the Teotihuacan expansion.
Which means he probably worked on some of the other ones, too.
Tekkenhu, Obelisk of the Sun. Perseverance Castaways he worked on. Plus, he does so many of those solo modes.
Yeah.
And
I don't own any of these, but you saying this, I'm impressed.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's like, he's probably one of my favorite designers. I own, like, all the ones I listed, I own.
Right.
So it's like...
Well, Excavation Earth, we all
community
own.
Owned, sure.
I was like, I'm not giving it. I mean, I'll share it.
I mean,
whatever.
You got
possession is 9/10 of the law.
It is. But yeah, no, he's...
But yes.
You're right.
Yeah.
And I own a few of those. Not as many as you do, but I definitely own a few of those.
Yeah.
And no complaints there.
Yeah, yeah. So I that's...
He's usually on the crunchy
the most,
side, though, right?
A little bit more crunchy, a little bit thinky.
Yeah.
Like I said, he does a lot of the cool solo modes I enjoy to play. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's probably why I enjoy his games the most, because I do enjoy a nice, like, kind of Euro-type game, or like a worker placement is more appropriate descriptor. Yeah, that's I enjoy it.
So who's your who do you own the most games?
I actually think most games. This isn't a hard thing here mm-hmm. because he's a very famous designer and stuff. So he has
Richard
his,
Garfield.
He has his fingers in a lot of a lot of games here. But Eric Lang.
Oh,
is probably
that's
the
one's gonna be on my list.
Yeah, he's probably the one I own the most games of as I was trying to check stuff off. So I probably didn't write down all of them because this guy is insane. Mm-hmm. But
which ones do you own?
So he does Dice Masters. He does a lot of Dice Master stuff, which means he does Couriers. He does Couriers. He did XCOM. Completely forgot about that.
Okay.
He helped with Bloodborne. Remember, we discovered that during the review. We didn't even know he did that.
Right. Yeah. That was one of the last ones he did before he left.
And I wanted to mention, but I don't own, I didn't know also he did Descent.
Oh, he worked on Descent?
Yeah, he worked
on Descent.
He's not
the primary, but
sure. But this guy's all over the place. Like I said, I could have filled a whole page probably with the game.
So The Godfather.
Yep.
Is a really, really good game. Underrated, criminally underrated game.
I was surprised that... Jason liked it as much as he said he did.
It's
a
good. It's an area.
Six.
Yeah, it's an area control game. It's really good. Mm-hmm. He did Chaos in the Old World, which gets compared to Cthulhu Wars a lot, and that rankles me because they play very differently. It's similar in that you have asymmetric factions.
Okay.
And you're the bad guys.
Sure.
That's it.
Bad guys.
There's spell books, but it works differently. There's just different. There's enough differences or whatever.
Games.
Yeah, they're different games. But Blood Rage, Rising Sun, Ankh is coming soon. Mm-hmm. Soon, I'm like waiting for that one.
Yeah,
but I mean the guy, The Others.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. Did he have a hand in Zombicide? Because I feel like
I didn't see that on the list.
Arcadia Quest.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he's just done a lot of really good stuff. He is a prolific. Designer, right. And I own a ton of his stuff, not even on purpose, right? It's just
again,
like,
yeah, it's,
oh, yeah, you don't realize that he was in there.
Yeah, just buying, like, oh,
right,
I like
that's
these
one of the
of
things,
games
again,
and...
the difference, right? Jamie Stegmaier, I know all the games he's designed, and if he's coming out with a game, I know about it and I'll be interested in it. Eric Lang, he just comes out with everything, so I just have a bunch of games. I'm like, oh, he did that.
He's brilliant,
right?
He's really brilliant.
So,
even if you don't like everything, he's almost designed something that you've liked.
Yeah, yeah. Right, yeah. He's probably had a hand
well,
in
especially again,
because
he's one of the examples of, I mean, how do you go from Warriors to like Godfather and XCOM to Bloodborne. Like these are so different.
Yeah,
Blood
Rage, right?
Blood Rage. Blood Rage and Rising Sun, completely different. Oh, wait.
No, they actually are different enough. Like,
I know.
Like Blood Rage, Rising Sun is like, oh, you like Blood Rage, but you want more. Like you need more depth, more.
I haven't played Rising
Sun.
And
strategy.
Obviously it's a big theme thing too.
Yeah. But it's more, there's more to it. It's way crunchier than Blood Rage.
Yeah.
Right.
So you actually have to do diplomacy.
People that came close on for me, Vital Lacerda.
Yeah,
got
you got a lot
so
of Vital
Lacerda
games.
Yeah, I got a lot of them. The thing is, though, is like they're so crunchy, I have a hard time getting them to the table.
It's tough.
That's
you
tough,
can't
that's
casually
thing.
Play a Uncle Vital game.
Except for Mercado de Lisboa.
Oh,
which I think might be our last stat. So if it is,
check that out.
Links in the description.
That was a
great... Yeah, but you do like the heavier designers.
I do.
I mean...
Typically.
That's fine.
I enjoy light games, but I do enjoy getting my teeth into something.
Yeah, for sure. You know who I've got a lot of games of? Glenn Drover.
Yes,
your friend.
Wait,
your personal.
My friend.
Yeah, he's
Glenn
a close
Drover.
Your personal friend.
I know. Well, I didn't want... I mean, he's my friend. I don't want to plug him too much.
Right. So, Railroad Rivals.
The second he mentions
Tycoon,
you on his podcast,
that's right,
you can mention
okay.
him.
Age of Empires.
Yes.
I mean, just...
The original Civilization game he was part of. Yeah.
Yeah, he's really good.
He is really good.
Gosh, I get excited about Glenn Drover.
I was looking at just quantity, though, of games I had.
Oh, sure.
And, like, I only have, like, 3 or 4 of his, but I've got, like, 5 or 6 Laceridas. I got, like, you know.
Yeah. What else you got?
Probably.
I mean, I got a lot of Stonemaier.
Yeah, I have another one too. That
probably second place for me. I knew you were going to mention. Stonemaier. So, Corey Knizia.
Oh, Knizia.
Yeah.
But not Reiner Knizia.
No, Corey Knizia helped with the Twilight Imperium games.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
He helped with Battlestar Galactica.
Yep.
He helped with every Star Wars game, basically.
Okay.
Outer Rim, Rebellion,
oh, sure.
X-Wing
really?
Miniatures. Yeah.
I didn't even know this guy's name, and I own
exactly.
All those.
Yeah, I know. I'm
I was like, oh, man.
It.
Yeah, so Corey Knizia is definitely up there on mine as far as games I own as well, mainly because he's helped on every Star Wars game, but also he hits the big ones for me, man. Battlestar Galactica and Twilight Imperium 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are up there for me.
And
Unfathomable is coming
out. Yeah, and Unfathomable. But, again, like you were saying, though, unfortunately, not a lot of people say Corey Kanizia, I think.
Yeah.
And he deserves to be mentioned. Because even if he's not the main developer or designer in all these games, he has he helps with all of these.
Yeah.
And so he deserves the shout out.
Kind of like your Tertsy.
Yeah. Yeah, because he seems like he's kind of like under the radar. Like you don't really hear about him a lot. But like all these games that I see, I'm like, man, this is really fun. Who's that? It was him. Oh, who did the solo on that? That was him. I'm like, man, it's like so now it's like I'm looking for that. A lot of times when I see, oh, solo mode by him. Doing it.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
So I will say this is the nice thing about me owning so many less games than them, too. Now that I'm past Corey and who was the other person? And Eric Lang, of course. All the other ones that are like the most designers, I think, have two games that I own, but but they're the rest of mine.
The other big one that you want to say?
No, go for it.
Say Martin Wallace.
That was mine.
I was like, you're going to say it? I'm going to say it? Yeah.
Yeah. He's you and I, between us, we have, I mean, no, we don't have every, because Martin Wallace has a ton of games. Yeah.
He makes those crappy Wildlands games,
but,
right?
Oh, I will kill you. I love that game so much.
It's good.
It's okay.
Nancy Narking is really good.
Yep.
I mean, there's just, I haven't played Brass yet. I've got the old, I bought the OG Brass. Mm-hmm.
Brass is cool.
I got the old ugly.
We played the sec one, Lancashire.
Mm-hmm. I think that's my problem with the new Brass, is it's like there's Birmingham and Lancashire, and I don't know.
Which one to get. Yeah. Get the one with the beer. It's the better one.
Which one's that?
It's.
You don't even know.
I think it's Lancashire. So I might be wrong.
So
there's two of them.
If
like,
I pick up the box and it just
the
says the one with the beer,
yes.
You're like, sold.
That's marketing.
Yes, yeah.
Right
there. But no, that is the better one, though.
Sure,
the new one.
Gotcha.
So yes. Lancashire's the new one.
I think so, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Because it came out like Kickstarter, right? And they had them both at the same time.
Yes.
And I was like, what? Like two games? Like,
yeah. They deluxified the old one and made a new one.
I gotcha.
You get to get deluxe of both.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. But, man, we haven't played our Struggle of Empires yet.
Nope.
But that's one I'm excited to play.
Not studying. Well, Studying Emerald, he was part of that, too.
Studying
right?
Emerald. Oh, yeah, that was
and
him.
And Australia.
Yeah, Australia. Another one I have. And I really, 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 really like it. And can't wait for those expansions to
come out. That'll be fun.
Did you back those?
Maybe.
Cool story, bro.
Probably.
Probably.
It's getting more and more likely as we go on. So I'll just mention, I don't know if you guys have more big ones. I'll mention my small ones in a line really quick. Again, they're just twos, maybe threes. I don't remember. But they're also, I like them a lot, and I want to own their other games, perhaps, right? So, like, I talk about Kane Klanko all the time. He did Fuse. I like Fuse a lot. I didn't know he did Dead Men Tell No Tales. I like that's kind of my pandemic killer.
Oh, okay.
It's pandemic-y, but it's a cooperative, you're pirates boarding sinking ships that are on fire with skeletons and stuff, and you're trying to get as much treasure as you can and get out.
Oh, that's kind of neat.
But it plays pandemic-y.
Sure.
Okay.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, does the fire like pop up and spread? Like
it's dice. Yeah, it's dice, and the heat is the die level it's on, and when it reaches a six, it spreads to other rooms, and there's also like explosive barrels.
You throw water on it to bring the dice down.
Yeah, you take an action. Cool. I don't know if it's throw water, but you take an action to lower the heat in the room and stuff, too. So you're trying to
play that game.
Yeah,
that
sounds fun.
That sounds really good.
It's pretty cool.
All right, so I've been Bob.
Yeah.
And then he also, I've only played it once, but he also did Covert, which I liked quite a bit as well. You're moving around as spies, and you're you know.
You like spy games, anyway.
True,
sure,
very true.
You do.
Well, that's all right.
Of course, Adam Kwapinski, right?
Who?
The Awakens Realms guy.
Sure.
That's what you know him from. He designs, or at least helps design, all of Awakened Realms games.
Yeah.
So yes, we like Lords of Hellas. We like Nemesis.
Yes.
Let's see. Frostpunk, he helped. I don't know if that's Awakened Realms, but Frostpunk, he helped design. Remember Origins, First Civilizations? We keep talking about that game coming out eventually. It looks incredible.
Yeah,
obviously, we don't know if
really
it's good,
good
yet, but it looks incredible. And of course, I wrote down Nemesis and Nemesis Lockdown.
Right.
You know, both Nemesis, but different games, technically.
Sure.
But big fan of Adam. And you can talk more, Bob. I wrote down Wolfgang Varsh.
Yes. Quacks of Quedlinburg, Taverns of Tiefenthal.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing is that name doesn't
But that's more it's of so a like though. Favorite designer than a.
I agree.
The most.
Again, for me, most of because it's two.
But I will tell you, I will tell you though that I will probably blind buy whatever game he puts out until there's a dud.
Oh, will you? Because so he obviously did Quacks and Taverns of Tiefenthal.
Uh-huh. Yep.
He also did a game I'm quite fond of called Illusion. That's the other one I own. The little card game.
Oh wait, I own Illusion.
Yeah,
he did
the little card game. He did Illusion. I didn't know that either.
Yep. That's three for me.
And he did a game I don't care about at all. I don't know if you guys care about, but took the world by storm. He did The Mind.
Oh, The Mind's okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying it took the world by storm when it came out.
Picking
a
lot of those
games.
The Mind is my least favorite.
Wolfgang Warsh is incredibly good at taking the world by storm.
Well, you see, so here's the thing. is I played The Mind and then decided not to buy it.
Right,
so,
right. No, I'm just saying, though.
But that's not a
Mind. Like,
it's not like he was swinging for the fences,
and it won.
Oh, it was huge, like what 3 years ago.
The Spiel,
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah, it did really.
And
well
then
when
Quacks,
it came out.
You know, kind of blew up, and everyone loves Quacks.
Quacks and
Taverns
of
Tiefenthal hasn't blown up, of what I can tell, but people love it.
Yeah, people that play it love it. People who haven't
heard
it?
Of it?
Yeah,
they'll get don't there. Love it. But so that's everything. That's all I have here.
So what do you think? What do you think with your main designers? What do you think is like a common thread? Because like with Peterson Games, I could say the common thread is that the theme in his games are very strong, right? And games even put out by that company, right?
Eric Lang is just hard to talk about. He does everything.
He's all over.
Yeah, so it's really hard to talk about him. I can say for Corey Kanizia,
hold on though. I got it for Lang.
Uh huh.
Almost every one of his games are very easy to learn.
Okay, sure.
They're accessible.
Right.
And usually because he's now very successful, he gets tied to really good IPs, right? So his stuff is pretty solid.
Bloodborne is less accessible than the rest of his things. But
compared you mean
to
hard to learn?
I'm just saying there's a lot going on. I really thought you played that at Pete's with us, but I guess not.
Nope.
There's just a lot going on. As far as games like that, it's definitely not the hardest. It's definitely not the worst, but there's a lot more.
Okay,
than
well, that
games.
Was, yeah.
But yeah, no, you're on something there. Corey is a lot easier to nail down for me. He nails worlds and themes, right? There's a reason he helps with Star Wars, I think.
Yeah.
He did Battlestar Galactica, and he does the Twilight Imperium games.
And they're all good on
this
theme.
This guy does worlds and theme, you know? And, you know, again, it's not like he's alone on all these games, of course.
Well, you know, both of those games also, when played properly, can get super tense.
Right.
And really atmospheric.
Atmospheric. Again, the world and themes. He's atmospheric. And yes, obviously, Star Wars and Battlestar Galactica have an existing world he was able to draw from, but making it
feel like you're there.
Right. There are other games in universes like that do not nail it.
It feels slapped on.
Especially Star Wars, right? Yeah. And the fact that he's able to. Outer Rim really feels like what you're doing there. It really does. Mm-hmm. And Rebellion. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. It's the best thematic playthrough of Star Wars.
You just want to play Star Wars like and be in the original trilogy.
Yeah, and X-Wing feels like little squadron X-Wing skirmishes and stuff. So
I was looking at my X-Wing stuff the other day.
Yeah,
like,
I know. We need to go. We need to do it again. It's just that it takes that prep. You got to build your team and be ready when you show up and everything. But I think as far as Corey goes, it's does he understand making a game atmospheric and drawing you into that
he
world?
He understands the themes that he is presenting in the games, right? And conveys that.
Which I'm huge on, so it makes perfect sense that I own so many and I love his game so much. Because yes, if a game can draw me in with that theme and everything, I am sold.
Sure.
And if it's a theme I like already, that helps.
You're already in, right?
Yeah.
Right on. Yeah, I think for mine, it's, you know, Lang is, I feel like his games are usually pretty easy to learn. Rising Sun is a little more complicated as well, but I mean, it's not hard. It's once you understand the mechanics, everything makes sense and flows very well. But his variety is amazing.
Yeah. That's almost the reason why do you own so many Eric Lang games? Well, because he makes everything.
Yeah.
He makes everything. And, so I just own games and he's helped.
You know, like even though we might have like some things we like more or gravitate towards more, all of us have a wide variety of games in our collection, right?
Sure.
That we could appeal to many different groups, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, even you with your heavier games, right? All your Lacerdas.
Yeah.
Like, you could still bust out a fairly light game and teach newer gamers, right? Or just people not as deep into the hobby as us. And you know, so yes, that's why a guy like Eric Lang, where he's got stuff on one end and, you know, Lacerda doesn't have a ton on the lighter end,
right?
You know, so
I actually like that it's not too easy to make this list, at least like for me.
Kind of think about it.
Right, where I have a couple, but then, like I said, a lot of mine are just two games I own, and I own 150 games, whatever.
Sure.
That shows how many different designers there are getting their stuff out there. I actually like that a lot. That it's not easy. Like I looked up every game in my list that above a certain score. And I checked out all the designers, opened them all, and was checking all this out. So, like, Arctic Scavengers, a game I love a lot, that guy has designed one game, Arctic Scavengers. And while I hope he gets they get more success in the future, I just like seeing all these different games with all these different designers. Mm-hmm. These people's ideas are coming to life, and they're able to do that. It's not just, every game
a
that's coming out is Eric Lang.
Right.
Yeah, you know? Like, I like that a lot.
Well, there's a little bit of backlash sometimes, too, right, when you're so
prolific,
or even just, I mean, because Lang, every time a CMON game came out, and he's tied to it, because when he worked with them for a couple of years, when he stopped being freelance,
right,
and he worked with them specifically, I think there was starting to get a little bit of blowback, like, oh, this is just another
Lang thing.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
You know, so now he's an independent designer again.
And this is Eric Lang you're talking about?
Yeah.
I think it's funny for people to say, oh, just another Eric Lang game, when all we can talk about is how different all his games are.
Well, because you had Simon catalog, because similar.
Yes. Sure. And I think that he was brought in to do
Typecast.
A series of games and a style, yeah. You know.
That's
and
totally
stuff.
Fine.
And then, but it's I want to go do my own thing.
Yeah, I can see the fans wanting him to come out too and branch out because he makes so many different and good games.
It's like
stuff,
movie studio stuff. I make one for me, you know, one for them, and then I get to make my movie, the movie I want to make.
The Nolan mentality.
Yeah. But hey, if it works and your games are good, well then.
Yeah, why not?
You know. Go with God. That's awesome.
But thank you, all you designers out there.
Yeah.
That are obviously listening to us.
You keep making them. We'll keep buying them.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt. Just make sure you're paying your licensing fees and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Keep them good designers around. But yeah, and again, like we are also, as much as we love some of the really big name guys, mm-hmm. I mean, the fun thing about doing a show is getting to dial in on like John Uziak, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or Brian and Amber Graymore, who made Mini Steel, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just to get to talk to these people who are just starting out making new games, right? Mm-hmm. Like their own little passion project.
That's what I was gonna say,
it's definitely one
projects.
Of the biggest positives of Kickstarter. I don't have amazing things to say about Kickstarter sometimes, but like they allow you to, even if the games don't fund and stuff immediately, they allow you to find the small designers easier than it would be without it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And you know, they need love too. Mm-hmm. And I always get excited when we find like somebody new, right? And it's like, wow, this guy made this and this, like his games are amazing.
Yeah,
like and you know, because coming in now into the hobby, right, Martin Wallace, even 6 years ago when we got into the hobby, or longer now, eight or nine years ago, Martin Wallace had this huge back catalog of games already,
right?
And now I mean, we're lucky because he is still making games and that we still enjoy, you know, most of his new games and everything. You get to play those. But it's also really fun when you find somebody on their first game, and then you can kind of follow them through. But that's my soapbox.
Yeah, no.
Pull that down.
Get off that thing.
Get on down. Back under the table. But who are some of your favorite design? Not favorite designers,
right?
Who has designed the most games in your collection?
Yeah, if you look at your collection, you're like, oh my gosh, this guy's name's on like five of my boxes.
Yeah, right.
And now that is a bit of work. So if you didn't feel like doing that. Who are some of your favorite designers?
That's right. For sure, though.
Because it did take me a while, and I have the smallest collection out of us. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, let us know. Comment. Obviously, while you're liking and subscribing, drop us some comments in the video. Or let us know if you're listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
We just started doing it, and it's just this, but just the audio file.
Yeah. You don't have to see any of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mostly this.
Yeah, mostly that.
You know, you're not benefiting the audio people at all right now by saying this.
We were waving hands in front of people's faces. And,
still getting used to this format.
And Bob stood up and Jester would do his entire body.
What?
Sorry, cut for time.
Yeah. Anyways, guys, thank you as always for watching. We appreciate it. And don't forget to check out our friends over at the Miniatures Rundown.
Our sister channel.
Yeah, we're going to call CJ our sister.
Yeah.
We're gender fluid here.
That's right.
But yeah, check him out. Jeff, who you see on our channel all the time and is our wonderful editor and producer. I have to say that. Otherwise, he puts weird stuff.
I'm contractually obligated.
That's right. Contractually obligated to say how wonderful our
otherwise,
editor is.
I'm being attacked. But anyways, he's over there all the time. They do a pretty fun show. We pop up over there. Also, please check out our friends at the Board Game Mechanics.
They are pretty okay.
Jason and Katie, they have been on this show, both of them.
Check out their interviews and stuff.
Yep. And then they also have a podcast. They do unboxings. Jason cranks out a ton of reviews. He's prolific.
That's why the quality dipped.
Snap. I'm going to get a message about that.
Yeah, probably.
I will get a message about that.
I know. It's so good.
No, but I honestly, you couldn't ask for nicer people to meet sort of in the same industry field as we are. So it's awesome. They're pretty okay. So, yes, all that being said, for the Board Game Rundown, I've been Tim.
I've been Bob.
I've been Dan.
We'll see you next time or hear you next time.
No, they'll hear us.
They'll hear us next time.
Man. Y'all didn't mention my personal...
Nobody knows who designed Candyland.
Milton Bradley.
He's not a person!
Thanks for checking out the Board Game Rundown. If you like what you saw, like, comment, and subscribe to our channel. Share our videos on social media and spread the word. We publish new content weekly, including reviews, unboxing, and let's plays. And as always, thanks for watching.